It's Dimpna here. Great to have you listening again, and I hope you're listening to me on the train and in the taxis and then while you're out jogging and all that kind of stuff. I have a really special treat for you today because I was talking to my girlfriend the other day. Now, she's this amazing woman that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. And we were talking about all the stupid little things that stop people from achieving. You know, what holds us back? All of that silly mind chatter and you know, the thing that stops us from picking up the phone and making that crucial phone call to get that deal or whatever it is. And I thought, really, you know, we should be recording this. So what I thought I'd do is let's have that conversation again. And this time I've got the recording button all on, and I thought, well, you guys can listen in on our cup of tea chat that we had the other day. Now, the amazing person that I was talking to was a lady by the name of Melissa Scott. Now, she's been in the corporate world. She's been in the private sector. She's been out there helping some of the highest achievers in Australia actually achieve success and kick their goals and make things happen. And she's been doing it for longer than she cares to admit. And so I'm going to actually introduce her now. Melissa, are you there?
I'm here. Well, I absolutely am. I'm very excited. I don't have a cup of tea, I must admit. I forgot that bit.
Oh, you forgot the cup of tea. Goodness me. Well, let's get back to our conversation that we were having the other day. And how we were talking about, well, when it comes down to it, we're actually talking about self-sabotage, weren't we?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So with self-sabotage, can you just go into a little bit of the whole background thing of why we do this? I mean, you know, just about everybody that I can think of or know does it, and it's silly, and sometimes you know, you conquer your inner talk and you get over things and you make it happen, you get out there and everything runs smoothly, and then you let this mind chatter crap take you over and everything seems like a brick wall. What's the whole theory behind it?
Okay, so, you know, it is fascinating, and you're right, it's something that we all do, and what I find fascinating is all the groups, you know, I've had the privilege of coaching hundreds of people all around the world, and, you know, a lot of my niche has been working with property investors and working in that niche of letting go of the sabotage, because it doesn't make sense consciously as to why we would do it. But, you know, sometimes we have to give ourselves a break and say, well, we're human. You know, we're human and we have peculiarities, and I think, you know, a big part of that is the self-sabotage. And you know, when we break it down and we look at, you know, consciously we go to actually do something, or we know that something's really good for us and we want to take these action steps. So, you know, why do we avoid that? Why do we, you know, not take action when we know we should? Or why do we put our head in the sand? And, you know, there's a lot of theory and practical behind why that takes place. And, you know, from my practical experience of coaching people, what I've discovered is that we really have to begin to understand the importance of the unconscious mind. So we've got our conscious mind that, you know, goes throughout the day and has about 50,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. But a lot of the thoughts that it's actually having are generated from a larger part of us, the unconscious mind, the part of us that's responsible for, you know, blinking, breathing, running all of our bodily functions.
Which we all need.
Oh, yeah, sorry?
We need all that stuff too.
We do. Yeah, that's pretty important. Yeah, right. And it also takes care of another really important part of us, which is all of our emotional awareness, our emotional intelligence. And it's kind of that storehouse that's been sitting, you know, accumulating our whole entire life. So, you know, many of our beliefs get formed from a number of things, you know, past negative experiences, insufficient information, childhood perspectives that aren't quite right today. Perhaps it's a misinformed loved one with the best intentions. But, you know, as that younger self and as that unconscious mind, we're like a warehouse. We begin to store all of this information. Some of it's great and some of it is actually not in our best interest, or it may have been in our best interest 30 years ago, but certainly not today in 2012. And so that's kind of, you know, that I could talk about that, the distinction between the conscious and the unconscious mind today, but in a nutshell, what we need to know is whenever we're doing that sabotaging behaviour, what the underpinning part of that is, there's some limiting belief that we're holding on to. that, you know, is, you know, it might be something, and in property investing, I think it's fascinating because I get to coach a lot of people around that, and they'll say, well, Mel, you know, I really want to take action and move forward. And so I'll ask a simple question like, well, what's stopping you? And, you know, some people stare at me blankly and go, I don't know. But when you start coaching someone and you dig a little deeper, you know, they might come up with something like, well, you know, I'm really afraid. And so we dig a little deeper and say, well, what of? What are you afraid of? You know, well, I'm afraid that it won't work. And so what are you afraid of if that happens? So we dig deeper and, you know, there might be something like this big fear of failure there that they're not conscious of. They're not walking around recognizing that that unconscious fear is causing them to think differently, feel differently, make different decisions that ultimately totally affects their life trajectory. And that limiting belief that might be causing all of that might come from when they were 7 or when they were 8. And so, you know, we're not walking around, this is the thing I love to say, we're not walking around with a neon sign on our head saying, hey, I'm now operating from that, you know, 7-year-old belief system. We don't even realize it.
Wow.
Sometimes other people do, but they don't necessarily know how to tell us, you know.
You know, I find this whole process really fascinating because, I mean, you know, I've done coaching with you and I know just how that really fast tracks things and how something that I don't even know about, you know, something that ridiculous comes into my head. But after we've talked about it, it's like, well, I don't know why or how, but whatever I was trying to do before that, I can do. And it's easy and it just happens. And it's like, why didn't that happen before? I mean, what's this rubbish about something when I was 6, you know, like, what's that got to do with anything?
You know, and when I've been doing a lot of my corporate work and corporate gigs and speaking, you know, in that sort of professional arena, you know, a lot of people, it takes them a while to get their head around it because they're like, well, how can my life today be affected by something I decided when I was, you know, 6 or 7? Well, it, you know, unfortunately, we update and reprogram our cars and our computers and our furniture and our wardrobe. Like, we wouldn't wear something that we wore 35 years ago.
We couldn't get into it, Mel.
But our belief systems, like, well, yeah, imagine that. That would not be a good look.
No, it would not.
What we do is we just kind of hang on to these things and we don't know they're there. And this is the thing, you know, we suffer in our world today, I think we suffer from a lack of self-awareness because we're busy. We have a lot of things to do. We have a professional world to engage in, usually children to raise, bills to pay, money to make. So we're not sort of brought up as a society, A, with the toolkit to know how to release it. Well, first of all, the toolkit to know what's inside, like what are my beliefs, what are those things that I haven't really dealt with, and then secondly, the toolkit to let it go. And that's, you know, that's why I fell in love with life coaching and NLP coaching and built a whole business around it, because for me, that was like the crux to everything. If I could find a way to support myself and other people to transform any limitation in any moment, then for me, that was just like, here's my life's work. This is what I'm going to do forever because it excited me. It meant that we no longer had to hang on to limitations from the past that we didn't even know were there. We just had to get self-aware and have a desire to really, you know, and because a lot of people sometimes don't release their limitations because A, they don't want to admit it. Sometimes our ego gets in the way. Sometimes it might just be that they really just don't know that this stuff is out there. So they're not going to do something that they don't even know about. But, you know, when I found out about it, when I saw how powerful it was, and particularly the kind of coaching I do, because you're working with that unconscious domain, and that's when you make a change there, that's when things, like you say, they just, you go out into reality and all of a sudden you can do that thing that you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's powerful. It's really powerful.
You know, I mean, everybody can hear that this is your passion and this is your life purpose and all of that kind of stuff. Tell us about some of those blockages in people. Now, obviously, don't mention names or anything because, you know, I know you've worked with some really, really well-notarized people around the world, let's say, and people in very high-profile offices and you know, in corporate world and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you've really got the rungs on the board from that perspective. But let's not go into any names. Just talk about perhaps some of those situations and what you did and what then happened, because you get to see the whole thing, you know. I remember as a kid, you know, Mum taught me how to knit and she taught me how to crochet. Now, this is a dumb story, but anyway. She taught me how to knit and she taught me how to crochet. I can do both. But knitting was so much slower So I always liked it. If I was going to have to do it, I had to crochet because I got a result quicker and I could see it and it was there and it was finished. You know, I was like, wow, I did it. Now I can move on to something else. And I relate that to what you do because you get a result and you see it and you see the change and it's like, wow, you know, I did that. And just tell us about some of that stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. It is. The thing I love about it is that, and this actually happened yesterday. I was talking to a group of property investors, and there was a lady in the room, and she kind of was listening to what I was saying. I was talking about sabotage and how you can, you know, address a situation, do something about it, and then have a really quick change. And so she kind of says, well, you know, I'm finding it really hard to believe in this instantaneous change. You know, I don't really believe in it. And I said, well, would you like, you know, I said, let's shift it. That's a limiting belief. You know, what would you like to do with that? And she, you know, is it serving you, first of all? And she's like, no, it's not serving me. I said, so what would happen if you just totally let that go? Like, let go of the belief that you can't have change. Maybe other people can, but you can't. Mm. And she said, well, you know, I probably would, you know, I would have the change that I'm looking for. And I said, right. I said, so what? Why are you holding on to this limitation that you can't change? And she said, oh, you know, and a lot of people do this, you know, they look up with these kind of guilty eyes. And she said, well, it's kind of been an excuse. It's a bit of a comfort zone for me. Because if I believed I could really change, then why haven't I been changing all of these years, right? Mm. So everyone in the room smiles when that happens, a bit of awareness. And so anyway, so we go about and the whole group does an exercise and a process. And we, you know, during that sort of session, I go and talk to her. And she has a real awareness as to why she hasn't been changing, a little bit deeper than what we just explored. And so at the end of it, this lady who doesn't believe in instantaneous change, doesn't believe it's possible for her really or anyone else, after she has just a couple of minutes of a new way of thinking, some powerful questions, and I say to the group, so, you know, who had some really exciting change? Who experienced a change there? And before anyone in the room can put their hand up, she comes out and says, well, I think everybody would have had an amazing change just then, you know, something to that effect. And so everyone laughs in the room because a few minutes ago, she didn't believe change was possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just the power in that moment. It's so quick, it's so powerful. That's just a small example. You know, there are so many more that are really, because that's a life-changing moment for her, you know, to actually then believe in change for yourself. Imagine the freedom that gives to your whole world, you know?
Mm. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I mean, I know it because I've experienced myself, and I, as you know, I also know you get to a point where you go, I recognise the blockage now, which something, you know, earlier on I never recognised that I had a blockage or that I wasn't breaking through or that, you know, my energy was up the creek or that I was actually self-sabotaging. And that just makes, and then you're sort of in this never-never land if you don't recognise that you're everything's just hard. And then that kind of reinforces the negative belief system that you have in the first place. So you're kind of perpetuating your own downward spiral. But when you So when you go and get some, like, you know, you learn some stuff. You learn about this sort of thing. You go through some personal development. You work on things yourself and you focus on success and making things happen in your life. And that's really what, you know, that whole education about everything is about. Then you recognize that you're doing it. Now, you may not necessarily have the tools to be equipped to actually change it, but that moment of recognizing that that's what's going on is like gold, you know, because what that means is you can now fix it because you can go to somebody who can do all of that kind of stuff. You know, I go to you and, you know, we have a little thing and then, you know, I go out and I make another $1 million.
I know, it's great. That's what I love, you know, like when those moments, like, you know, you said before, you know, getting to be in the vantage point of really seeing the before and after. And it's like that for me is there's nothing more exciting than seeing someone in their own world where they have this belief system and they're accumulating, like you said, that evidence and that downward spiral. And then all of a sudden, you know, I can ask a series of questions and that immediately, it literally creates new neural pathways. And all of a sudden your brain can't do the old way anymore and it just begins to, you know, have the recognition and self-awareness, you know, get the support via the coaching to shift it, and then you go out into your reality and it's like that everything is different. Because what a belief does is it will literally determine what you're capable of seeing, hearing, feeling, you know, experiencing in your world. Like, that's how powerful they are, and that's why, you know, my passion for everyone on the planet is to do belief inventories, you know, get support, have coaching, learn that there's another way. And when you do, you just never turn back from that. It's like, you know, coaching is an ongoing tool. No matter what you do in your world or what your dreams or passions are, you know, I think our world's missing that personal development. We should learn it in prep and grade one and grade two. Instead of that, we learn, you know, geography, which is good, but it's not going to transform our life.
Well, you can use it, but I totally agree with you. You know, you got to have that kind of depth of enlightenment, really, and that depth of command of ourselves and the power that we have in this very complicated body that we walk around in is an amazing thing. And no, we aren't equipped to deal with it because, you know, you go back and, you know, I'm perhaps slightly older than you, but you go back to our parents and grandparents and things like that, this kind of talk wouldn't have ever been spoken about, you know. It's just not something that was talked about. It's not something that was even thought through. So, you know, actually making a change and doing something to correct these negative belief systems that we have was never even talked about or considered, or it was just so far out of their paradigm it didn't exist.
You're absolutely right, and that is often times, you know, when you're coaching someone and they've got a belief system, it's not only just something that they've picked up on. It might have been something that their father and their grandfather and their great-grandfather all believed. And so you're literally sometimes born into a belief system. And that might be a belief system around poverty, for example, and working hard. I worked with a beautiful man yesterday, and he was born into that kind of reality where they were poor and you had life, and if you didn't work hard in some way, the kind of the innuendo was you weren't really either a good person or you weren't valuable if you weren't working like 16 hours a day. Yep. And so here's this man, you know, many 50 years down the track, and he's got this opportunity to pursue the paradigm of property investing and to replace his income and to have a profitable and enjoyable life. And he says to me, I know I'm sabotaging that because, you know, the younger part of me, the little child in me, wants to please my family still.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've all got things like that. You know, we've all got them sitting in our kind of unconscious wardrobes waiting to be addressed, waiting to be recognized, released, so that we can actually be in 2012.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned there a little bit before something about neuropathways. Now, you know, I know what that means, but I think you should explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, so basically what we know now with quantum physics is that, you know, every time we have a particular thought and we think that thought enough, it literally creates its own neural pathway and neurology and impact on our body and our biochemistry. And so if you think a thought enough times, you know, we have a lot of opportunity to do that. Say it's a limiting thought, something about yourself, you know, I don't deserve to be wealthy or I'm not good enough, or you've had that generational belief system imbued in you, then it literally skews your interpretation and your vision. And even if there was an amazing opportunity or potentiality out there, say you're reading a newspaper, and in that newspaper is something that could potentially transform your life, your eyes, your brain, you wouldn't have the capacity or the neurology to even see it. Now, I know that sounds, you know, a little bit kind of esoteric, but we've got the quantum physics now to validate that what we are perceiving in our reality is perception, it's interpretation, and it's based on our internal filters, the primary one of which is our belief systems, you know. And there's some great information out there these days, you know. It depends how technical you want to get. For me, I'm not into getting highly technical. I just want the skill that's going to transcend it so I can have the transformation and I can have an altered trajectory in my life and a different reality.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can get all of that technical information. Some of it's pretty heavy. I mean, I've actually read a lot of that stuff. And it is, some of it is quite heavy and some of it's quite out there and that kind of stuff. But it is something that I encourage all of you to learn a little bit more about. I want to tell you a story. I actually had an experience recently which really validated what you've just said there about, you know, creating those neuro pathways. I have always said and thought that as a child I was incredibly lucky because my parents always gave me the belief system that I could do anything I wanted if that's what I put my mind to and, you know, stuck at it, you know. So yeah. I've grown up with that and, you know, throughout my life in lots of different things, everything from, you know, pistol shooting to athletics to business, I've applied that.
Yeah.
And, but I actually had a, I had a validation of that, which was just beautiful about, well, was it Christmas time when your family gets together and that kind of stuff. And I met up with one of my nieces who I hadn't seen for ever and ever, you know, long, long time ago. And she had just achieved a big promotion and bonus, and she was doing so well in what she was doing, and I was congratulating her and all the rest of it. And she looked at me, and she's got these really big eyes, and she said, "I owe it all to you." I said, "What? Don't be ridiculous. I've had nothing to do with what you're doing. This is fabulous. It's all you, you know." And she said, "You know, I remember..." And it was before I went to school, she was saying, and I, you know, so she must have been like four, maybe. She says, "I remember sitting on your knee," because we used to play games together, and I, you know, I wouldn't have been that old then. I can't exactly say I was the old wise woman or anything.
Yeah.
But she used to, I remember mucking around with her, and she said, "I used to sit on your knee, and I remember you saying to me," and she said, you got all serious, and you said to me, "Don't you ever let anybody tell you you can't do something. You just get out there and you make it happen. You can do anything you want if you put your mind to it." And it was like, I just about burst into tears. That those words to a four-year-old meant so much.
They do. That is a life-changing message. And, you know, when you were saying that, I just got tingles through my whole body, because to give a child at that, you know, the most precious years of a child's life, that knowledge and information, you were a wise woman, you are a wise woman, and that's a role model in our world, and that's why you are so popular in our world, you know, with your amazing niche of property investing, your amazing mind. Yes, it's your mind, your intelligence, it's all of that, your expertise, the fact that you've done it, and yet there's also...
I'm not going to be able to walk out of this room shortly with all of these compliments.
But what's inherent in you, you know, is that beautiful... This is an example of a beautiful belief system that's been passed on to you. You know, because as much as today we're talking about shifting some limiting ones, it's also about sharing those amazing ones, being told that you can do anything that you want and put your mind to. And then what happens is that four-year-old niece and you as a child, when you heard it, all of a sudden you create a neural pathway that then validates and allows you to go out into your reality and, you know, at that quantum level begin to attract and resonate with examples and experiences of that in your life. So that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Look, we're talking about changing things and limiting beliefs and things. Give us some tips. What should we do? How do you go about this? You know, do affirmations work? Does writing work? What do we do?
Well, you know what? There are so many things that we can do. And this is the thing. I think the first step is really just knowing, having awareness and beginning, like just even knowing that you can change your belief systems. That was really my first big epiphany to go, you know what? I'm not stuck with any limitation. So it doesn't matter what's going on in my reality. It doesn't matter what I think, what I've been through, what I've experienced, because a lot of people have had a lot of crappy stuff. I can change. So that first point, I think, is very important. Absolutely, things like affirmations and visualization, getting a great coach, having coaching. For me, I will have a coach until the day that I die, or maybe the day before I die or something, you know. Yeah. Like my last little coaching before I leave the planet. Because I value it so much, and it's changed my life. Like who I am today, how I am in the world, and the way the business that I run, it never would have been possible with the old Melissa who grew up with a lot of limitation. So I guess I loved this belief changing stuff because I had a lot to do. I had a lot to release. I had more than a lot, you know. And so in terms of some tips to work through that, you know, it is about recognizing that you can do it, starting to get really honest, you know, because change can't actually happen. We can't change belief systems if we're not willing to share them. So sometimes our ego gets in the way and, you know, we don't, like you were saying back with the old generations, people never used to talk about their stuff, what was going on for them, how they really felt. But you have to actually start talking about it so that you can become aware of how you are feeling. Yeah. Because if you know that you can change anything, why wouldn't you just naturally talk about it, get support? And talking it out sometimes and a cup of tea with a girlfriend can actually change your life. You know, we don't actually always have to have paid coaching. And so, you know, and beginning to ask great questions. Often in life we're guilty of asking poor questions. You know, why am I stuck with this? Why am I in a downward spiral? Why won't my life change? Well, if you ask a poor question, your unconscious mind that can process 2 to 3 million bits of information, it's going to give you 2 to 3 million bits of evidence of why things are crap. And if you start asking better questions like, how can I turn this around? You know, like, first of all, what do I believe about this? You know, about property investing, about wealth, about, you know, this obstacle. What do I believe? And start to ask yourself that. Well, I believe that it's... And you'll get answers. The more you start asking, answers come.
Yeah.
And then, you know...
Can I just stop you there?
Yeah.
Can I just stop you there?
Yeah.
Because what you have said then is that, you know, that's just like enlightenment stories here. Because asking good questions is, to me, is absolutely fundamental. When we, you know, we are hardwired to be problem solvers. Our, you know, our bodies, everything. If we have a problem, our conscious, our subconscious, our body goes about trying to fix it. You know, you cut yourself with a piece of paper, the body goes about trying to get away with the pain and fix it and heal and whatever else.
Absolutely.
But that permeates through absolutely everything. So what we, this really comes down to what I talk about, which is your peg in the sand. Where's your peg in the sand? Where's your goal? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to make happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my audiences, you know, that is the hardest thing that you will ever have to do, because for most people, you know, you get this really vague, waffly answer about financial freedom, but they've got no idea what that actually means for them. So you've got to narrow it down and you know, how much passive income and out of what kind of areas and what kind of properties and, you know, because it's obviously in my field, but the ability to be able to get them to really go, that's what I want, how can I get it?
Yeah.
Now you've got a good question. You know what I mean?
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's huge. And be really, really specific.
Yes, absolutely. Because being specific, the unconscious mind loves that. Because if you say to the unconscious mind, how can I create more money today? That's a good question. But, you know, it'll tell you how you create 5 cents. You know, you probably find it at the bottom of one of your handbags. But, you know, like if you're, like you're saying, you want that passive income of $200,000 every year, that's a different question and you're going to get a different answer, and that answer is going to require, you know, absolutely, but you know, changing your beliefs doesn't mean that's all you need to do. We're not just airy-fairy about this. We're then saying, well, now what's my practical steps? What action must I take? What will I do differently? Now I've got my new belief system that I know that it's possible, I know that it's achievable, and I've never done it before, so find a great mentor and role model. You know, a lot of NLP coaching is about, you know, getting all the shifts in awareness and sabotage released and then going out into your world and getting people who are great at what they do and then finding out how they do that. And along the way, continuing to release obstacles that come up, because often people, they'll come and have coaching with me and they'll think, oh, you know, well, I've done it, that's all I need to do. And I'm honest with them. I say, you know what, I pretty much work on releasing something in my life and in myself, you know, on a regular basis, at least weekly. And that's, you know, yeah, I'm passionate about it, so not everyone's going to do it that often. But it needs to be regularly, because we do it to our cars, like I said, we do it to our computers, we do it, to, you know, we're regularly doing other things regularly. And this is your mind and your body, you know, they're the most amazing tools we have. So why not optimize them, get the antivirus, the anti-sabotage software going.
Update the software.
It's important. It's really important. And sometimes we overlook it because, you know, life gets busy or we think that we can do it on our own. That's another big one and one that I certainly had. I used to think you have to do everything on your own. And that's part of the ego. You know, the ego wants to look good, be right, and know it all.
Yeah.
And so that's often in conflict with us living a fulfilled life, you know, and getting help and having an amazing, you know, support team in our world.
You know, something else that I think people really need to acknowledge in themselves is not to beat themselves up. You know, not to beat yourself up about a past mistake or you know, a particular circumstance or whatever else, because, you know, we stand here today with whatever we've got, as you know, our assets, our car that we drive, the house that we live in, the friends we have, all the rest of it, directly as a result of every decision we've made up to this point in time. Now, whilst that's incredibly, incredibly empowering, because what that means is that every decision you make from here on will directly determine the house you live in, the car you drive, the friends you have, the fulfillment you have, the health you have, everything in a year's time, in 12 months' time, in 2 years' time, in whatever. But people get kind of stuck at that now point, and they carry forward the baggage of and the feeling of perhaps some bad decisions or some not so good decisions that they've made in the past. And they get all hung up on what happened in the past, when in reality, even statistically, what happened previously has absolutely no bearing on what's going to happen next.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yes, and that, you know, that you've raised something really, really critical here, because, you know, that's the emotional baggage that often clouds our thinking and makes us make crappy decisions again. So the best thing to know is, if you've made a mistake, you're human. Thank God you did, because you wouldn't actually be where you were without those mistakes. And so I really value, I look back on my life, and there's things that I'm not proud of in a lot of areas of my life, but I can look back now with compassion and love the me that I was back then, because I was doing the best that I could do with those limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I got that, I had such a freedom in saying, it was almost like, right, shed that limiting belief, let that go, you know, and sometimes it's not, you know, you're not going to necessarily learn to do that overnight if it was a particularly bad decision, but this is why we do coaching, because we want to let go of the anger or the guilt or the frustration or the, you know, the just the whatever it was that caused that to be there in the first place. The emotional release is equally important and very connected into the belief. So to shift a belief, anytime I do a belief release or sabotage release, I'm always, you know, usually going to get an emotional reaction in my client. Sometimes that's relief, sometimes that's, you know, just crying. So it's just some awareness. The emotional energy is in our body. And I always say to people, let it move through you. And because, like you said, you release that decision, and then all of a sudden your whole life changes. The car, the people, the places, the things, what you do and who you are, and the legacy that you leave on the planet, it's completely altered every time you make those positive, new, empowering choices. And your life wouldn't be what it is. This is what I love about my life. It wouldn't be what it is today. I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't know what I know unless I went through those limitations. So they were important. They were valid. And then you can let it go. If you get the learning behind it, you can let anything go.
Yeah. I think one of the big things in my life that really is a pure example of that is, for many of you know, I took on a partner many years ago who was a financial planner who stole money from two clients. And I took the decision to pay that money back to the clients and borrow against my practice, even though legally, you know, I probably could have got out of it, and I could have gone bankrupt and all of these other things that people were telling me to do. I chose not to do that. And I, you know, even though at the time it was $554,000, and that was a lot of money to me back then.
Yeah, wow.
It was the right thing to do, and it was also, it was the worst thing that possibly happened in my life at that point in time. But looking back now, I would not be doing what I'm doing now. I wouldn't be on this, you know, on this recording talking to a whole lot of people. I wouldn't be teaching asset protection. I wouldn't have replaced my income. I wouldn't have gone on and done all the things that I've done had that not happened.
Absolutely.
You know, and even though it was horrid and revolting.
Some horrid things turn out to have really good, you know, happy endings, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. And whether it be that or, you know, first marriage, whatever, you know, there is always a learning out of it. There is something good that you can take away from it. If you get that learning, you don't have to do it again.
Exactly. That's the thing that I love the most about coaching is that, you know, I see a lot of people with unconscious patterns, and if they're left unchecked, they will just replicate that poor behavior. You know, like women that have been in relationships, you know, a bad relationship for about 6 or 7 times, and they want to blame it on the men. They want to make it all about that. It's never about anyone else. It's always about ourselves. You know, and our belief systems and our life story and what we need to do to shift and change and rearrange who we are so that we can actually go out and attract a different situation and say no to crappy ones and put in place boundaries that actually, you know, prioritize ourselves. Because if we feel worthy and good enough and we're able to transcend some of those limitations that a lot of people have, then we make better decisions. We allow good into our life in a way that just changes who we are.
Yeah. So let's get back to those tips. What else can we do?
Okay, so what else we can do? So definitely, you know, asking those better questions, that's really a key one. And checking in with yourself, you know, like if you've got a limiting belief, is this belief going to get me to my outcome? Usually it's going to be a no. So starting to think about, well, what would I like to believe instead? You know, what does somebody who's got what I'm wanting to get or is doing what I'm wanting to do or is feeling what I'm wanting to feel, what is it that they would be believing? You know, and how can I borrow that belief system? And what would happen if I started believing that?
Wow.
Because all the belief is just that reinforced thinking pattern.
Yeah.
So that, and then what would happen if, you know, my life moved forward a year and 2 years with that new belief system? And then all of a sudden, when you ask yourself or a coach asks you those questions, then you start to think about things in a completely new way. And you start to imagine things and see and hear and feel this new possibility that your brain, with the previous limitation, it never went there. It never thought of that possibility. And so that's a really good one, just getting the, you know, the alteration in what you are thinking and what you're focusing about. You have to be fed up with how it has been. So you've got to have a desire to change things. You have to know that the belief that you've got is not serving you, and really start getting to the emotional cause that's been holding on to that. You know, really have that awareness around it.
Can I tell you something here? And I think I actually stole it from you initially, but I want the guys to hear it because you might forget to say it. Whenever there's a change coming on, there's a number of levels of triggers that people can have. And, you know, the first trigger for financially, because that's the easy, you know, I talk about that, you talk about relationships and all sorts of things, but, you know, for me it's all about the money. It's all about the success and getting, you know, because that's my field, that's my training, that's where I can add a lot of value. You get a little feeling about, oh, you know, I think I should be doing something more, and you know, I really should be getting out there and getting myself some financial security and paying down some debts and having some passive income, and, you know, you get that feeling. Now, you know, we call that a feather, you know, little feather, touches your cheek. It's like, okay, listen to the feather, make it happen. You don't have to go through the pain, just listen to the feather, do that. And then, of course, if you don't listen to the feather, you get the paper cut. And, you know, the paper cut, you hurt your finger and it hurts and you get a bit of pain. But the pain is like, you know, you've got all these bills come in at once and the car tire blows up and you've got to replace the fridge and you know, you might lose your job. Or maybe that's a bit more heavy than that. But it might be like, you know, a boss gets replaced at work and you don't like the boss and you go, you know. And it's like, I've got to do something about this. You know, I've got to get out there and get more financial security behind me so I'm not caught in this have to decision-making process all the time. And then, of course, you don't listen to the paper cut. You end up having the brick, and the brick hits you around the head. And it's like you get an illness, there's a family incident, you know, you lose your job, and really it starts to be really, really painful. Now, that incident I told you about with the financial planner, that was a brick. You know, that was like massive brick in the head. And I could, if I go back and really analyze what happened in the lead up to that, I could have listened to the feather, but I didn't. I didn't, you know. But still, I learned from that now.
Yeah, absolutely, you have learned from it. And I think you've raised something really, really important there with, you know, these little intuitive hunches that we have and the awarenesses that we have that are guiding us on a daily basis that, you know, the logical mind sometimes gets in the way of, and it because we're not listening to that and we're not actually responding and taking the action, then, like you said, it tends to get worse and worse and worse. And so to know that you, at any stage, you know, you can actually put your hand up and get help and look at something in a completely new light, it means that then all of a sudden things don't get worse. They don't go down that pathway of the downward spiral, because the moment you have a new thought about it, the moment you get empowered, you start to feel better, you think better, you're more at the top of your game, and you're going to see things differently, and then life comes to you differently. And so it really is, I think, just about doing everything in your power to get the right kind of support behind you. It's like, in your game, in the property investing game, you have the best professionals around you. You know, you get the best accountant, the best financial planner. You do all of those things because that makes sense to do it. And it's the same with our emotional intelligence. We've got to be willing to get that kind of support that is going to help us get rid of all the things we need to get rid of and to not have to get the brick, you know, and to learn from it. And the other thing that sometimes we get to the brick point because, you know, it's not because we're silly, it's not because, you know, of any of those things, it's usually just because, you know, we don't know how to reach out for help, and we don't necessarily, and particularly 20 years ago, there weren't really coaches around to go to, so we didn't have that support available. So now that we do, it's just saying, you know, let's get everybody the right kind of support and things will change. And then to remember that it's not instant always. You're going to have life process, things unfold, things that come that are out of the blue, you know, financial crisis and stuff like that that you don't plan for. But if you're strong, it's like if you work out, you do personal training, your body's strong. If you have an injury, you're going to recover more quickly if you've had that expertise. And it's the same with other stuff in your life, you know. We get back up and get out there better and quicker and faster if we've got expert stuff on our side.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, that whole process of being aware that you're doing this stuff, like, that's massive. It's absolutely massive that you've recognised it, and then you can go down the road of actually making that happen. Have you got any other tips for us?
Okay, what do I have? Look, you know, probably the biggest tip I think that really will help with the belief changing is to make time for yourself in your life. You know, where we go wrong a lot of the times is we get very, very caught up in life and busy. With more technology today, it's easy to be, you know, busier than ever and to be people pleasing more than we ever do. And so I think that if we want to have the opportunity to have a great life, you know, a great you know, property portfolio and great all the other things, we actually have to take time for ourselves. You know, again, it's a little bit like shifting our belief systems. We've got to fuel ourselves, you know, whether that's meditation for some people, relaxation, if it's the guys, it might be, you know, going out for a game of golf. Not putting off those things, not waiting till we get somewhere to do those other things. You know, it's about having that balance in your life. And if you have the balance, I believe that you're not going to get the brick. You're going to pick it up at the feather because you're going to be more likely to listen, to hear it, to see it occur.
Yeah.
So that's another really important one that I think that helps people start to look at their life differently.
Right. I've actually got an event coming up at the end of the year, which is the Real Estate Millionaire Within. And we're going to be going through a lot of these types of things. And, of course, you're going to be there. And you know, everyone can come and have a listen to you speak, and you know, you're going to walk out of there a different person, I can tell you. So I've got that coming up at the end of the year, but you've got a lot of stuff going on as well. I mean, you've written an amazing book by the name of the Billionaire Buddha.
Yes.
And that's got a lot of, you know, tips and helps and things to think about and get you really kind of thinking in the right kind of pathway to make that happen. And you've your website there is Equinox Coaching, is that right?
Yeah, so it's Equinox Life Coaching. And you're right, you know, like that passion that I had all those years ago, it's been channeled quite creatively into books, into CDs, and, you know, I do some one-on-one coaching, you know, when I allocate time for that. And I have a lot of events and trainings. I train people to become life coaches and to learn to do what I do, the way that I do it. And I also, for the women out there, I run really amazing retreats, three-day retreats, which are all about, you know, doing that personal release work and transformation, but getting a lot of pampering and having a lot of fun as well, and then taking away a system that they can use to support themselves so that they don't get so stressed and tired and burnt out and all of that. So that's also something that I
want to see you do one of those for the men as well, or at least an open group.
Yeah, well, that one's called the Enlightened Goddess Retreat, so I'll have to come up with a new name to let the hubbies come along, because I'm sure they want to come along as well. You're right.
It could be, hey, dude, make it happen.
Okay, all right, I'm onto it.
So I encourage everybody to jump on Melissa's website there of Equinox Life Coaching. And buy that Billionaire Buddha book. It's absolutely fabulous. Get some of her CDs. She's got some great affirmations and meditation CDs that you can start to get your head in the right spot. And, you know, really start to get these things really happening for yourself. Melissa, you are fabulous. I mean, I always get totally enthused and inspired every time I speak to you. And when we do coaching sessions together, I never quite know what kind of person I'm going to walk out the other side, but it's always better. It's always good. So thank you so much for coming on the call and talking to everybody and, you know, and being part of this our little chat room here that we distribute around to everybody. Any parting words for the guys?
parting words is to let yourself imagine what your life would be like without those limitations that you've been holding on to. Like, to imagine the kind of life you would be able to lead, the quality of relationships, the amount of financial freedom you'd be able to have, really have, if you weren't carrying around those limitations. You know, they're not real. We can't do surgery and pluck them out, but we can do coaching and let them go. You can let them go. You can live a life without limitation. It doesn't matter who gave the limitation to you, where you acquired it, what trauma occurred that brought that out. None of that matters. What matters is that we can be present to 2012 and we can absolutely live an inspirational life where we're on purpose and we're doing what we absolutely love on a daily basis, because that is what we're actually on the earth to do. So without our limitations, we are free to do that. So I encourage everyone to get excited about that and to get introspective, be willing to examine your life and put the pegs in the sand and do what you need to do to create it.
Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you for those wonderful, wonderful inspirational words to everybody. And guys, as you know, I will be back again to talk to you real, real soon. Thank you so much, Melissa, for being on the call. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure, an absolute pleasure. See you soon.
Bye for now.